Hey everyone, welcome to Stork Science World, a podcast where we break down the latest scientific research in a way that's easy to understand. I'm your host, Jamie, and this podcast is proudly produced by Stork, a research productivity software designed to help scientists work smarter, not harder.
And I'm Alex, your co-host for today's fascinating journey into the world of GenX. We've got an incredible paper to discuss that could change how we understand and classify genetic variants related to cancer risk.
That's right, Alex. Today we're diving into a groundbreaking study that was just published in Nature. The title is a bit of a mouthful: Functional Evaluation and Clinical Classification of BRCA2 Variants. But what these researchers have done is absolutely remarkable.
You know, Jamie, I think most of our listeners have probably heard of BRCA genes before. They're famous for their connection to breast and ovarian cancer risk. But this study takes our understanding to a whole new level.
Absolutely. And before we dive in, I should mention that this is some really fresh research. It was received in December 2023, accepted in November 2024, and is scheduled to be published online in January 2025. So, we're getting a sneak peek at cutting-edge science here.
Wait, did you say 2025? That's wild. We're literally discussing research from the future. But in all seriousness, this study addresses a huge problem in genetic testing. When someone gets tested for BRCA2 mutations, they sometimes get results called variants of uncertain significance, or VUS, which are basically genetic changes where doctors aren't sure if they increase cancer risk or not.
Exactly. And that's incredibly frustrating for patients. Imagine being told, "We found a genetic change, but we don't know if it matters." That uncertainty can be really difficult to deal with.
Totally. And there are over 5,000 of these uncertain BRCA2 variants currently listed in clinical databases. That's a lot of people potentially living with this uncertainty.
So what these researchers set out to do was ambitious. They wanted to analyze all possible single nucleotide variants in a specific region of the BRCA2 gene called the DNA binding domain, or DBD. This is the hotspot where most of the cancer-causing missense variants are found.
And Jamie, they use this really cool technique called saturation genome editing, or SGE for short. Basically, they used CRISPR-Cas9 technology to introduce every possible single nucleotide change in this region of the gene into human cells, and then they watched what happened to those cells.
Right. They were specifically looking at whether these genetic changes affected cell survival. The idea is that if a variant disrupts the normal function of BRCA2, which is essential for repairing DNA damage, the cells won't survive. So cell survival becomes a proxy for whether a variant is likely to be pathogenic, meaning it could increase cancer risk.
And the scale of this is just mind-blowing. They evaluated nearly 7,000 different single nucleotide variants. That's 99.9% of all possible variants in this region of the gene. Talk about comprehensive.
It really is. And what's particularly valuable is that they didn't just say, this variant is bad or this variant is fine. They actually created a sophisticated statistical model to assign each variant to one of 7 categories based on the strength of evidence for pathogenicity.
Right. They use something called a Varkal-Bayesian model. Without getting too deep into the statistics, this basically allowed them to calculate the probability that each variant is pathogenic and assign it to categories like pathogenic strong, pathogenic moderate, benign strong, and so on.
And the validation of their approach was really impressive. When they compared their results to known pathogenic and benign variants, they achieved over 99% sensitivity and specificity. That's remarkably accurate.
Absolutely. And they didn't stop there. They took these functional results and integrated them into clinical classification models from organizations like ClinGen and the American College of Medical Genetics to formally classify the variants according to clinical guidelines.
That's what I found most exciting, Alex. Because at the end of the day, what matters is how this research impacts real people. And the results are pretty amazing. and were able to classify 91% of the variants as either pathogenic slash likely pathogenic or benign slash likely benign. That's a huge improvement over the current situation, where thousands of these variants are stuck in that uncertain middle ground.
And they didn't just stop at classification. They also looked at actual cancer risk associated with these variants. They found that the variants they classified as pathogenic were associated with significantly increased risks of breast and ovarian cancer, similar to what we see with known pathogenic variants. For example, the strongest pathogenic missense variants were associated with about a 41% lifetime risk of breast cancer and an 11% risk of ovarian cancer.
Those numbers are really important because they help confirm that the functional classification they did in the lab actually translates to real-world cancer risk, and that's crucial for clinical decision-making.
Exactly. And speaking of clinical relevance, they found that people with the pathogenic variants were diagnosed with breast cancer at an average age of 56, compared to 61 for those with benign variants. They were also more likely to have a family history of breast cancer.
They also did something really clever to further validate their findings. They looked at tumor samples from people with these variants and checked for something called loss of heterozygosity, or LOH. Basically, in tumors with a true cancer-causing BRCA2 variant, you often see that the normal copy of the gene gets lost, leaving only the mutated version.
And sure enough, they found LOH in about 85% of tumors with variants they classified as strongly pathogenic, compared to only 25% in tumors with benign variants. That's a huge difference that really supports their classification system.
So to sum up the impact of this work, Alex, they've essentially created a comprehensive reference that can be used to improve clinical management of individuals with BRCA2 variants. This could help thousands of people get more definitive answers about their cancer risk.
Absolutely. And it's worth noting that this approach could serve as a template for studying other cancer predisposition genes too. The combination of high-throughput functional analysis with clinical validation could really transform genetic testing across the board.
You know, we often talk about personalized medicine on this podcast, and this study is a perfect example of moving in that direction. By getting more precise information about genetic variants, doctors can provide more tailored screening, prevention, and even treatment recommendations.
Definitely. For instance, people with pathogenic BRCA2 variants might be eligible for enhanced screening like breast MRIs, preventive surgeries like mastectomies or oophorectomies, or even specific cancer treatments like PARP inhibitors if they do develop cancer.
And on the flip side, people who have variants now classified as benign can avoid unnecessary interventions and anxiety. That peace of mind is incredibly valuable too.
You're so right. This really highlights how basic science research in the lab can translate to meaningful differences in people's lives. It's not just about publishing in Nature, though that's impressive. It's about helping real people make informed decisions about their health.
Well said, Alex. And that wraps up our discussion of this fascinating study. If you're interested in reading more, you can find the full paper in Nature, Volume 638, published February 13, 2025. The lead authors are Huaiji Huang and Chunling Hu, with Fergus Couch as the corresponding author.
Thanks for joining us on Stork Science World. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, Stork is here to help researchers be more productive. So if you're a scientist drowning in papers, check them out.
Until next time, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Stay curious, everyone.